A few years ago, the late-night TV comedy show Saturday Night Live introduced a character by the name of Debbie Downer. Debbie is the kind of person who always sees the bad side of any situation. Indeed, Debbie is a master at always finding the dark side of every cloud. In one skit, Debbie and her family have traveled to Disney World for a big reunion, and they're having breakfast at Mickey's Breakfast Jamboree. When the waiter suggests the Mickey waffles with the steak and eggs, Debbie says, "Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances." When one of the family members squeals with delight about going on the rides, Debbie says, "Did you hear about the train explosion in northern France? They may never know how many people perished." After the Pluto, the dog comes over to the table for a photo, only to slink away after hearing yet another of Debbie's downer comments. Debbie moans, "With that costume on, he's probably in the early stages of heat stroke. Oh, and by the way, it's official. I can't have children." On and on it goes, until the whole family bolts from the restaurant in a vain attempt to flee Debbie's negativity. After reading the story of Jonah, I'm convinced that he was the Debbie Downer of the Old Testament. Joyless Jonah. All he sees is what's wrong with the world. "Go to Nineveh," God commands. "Tell them it's time to shape up or ship out." "Nineveh, that bunch of losers," Jonah responds. And instead of doing as God says, he ships out on a boat headed in the complete opposite direction. When a storm threatens to capsize the ship, the sailors on board panic. "What are we going to do?" they ask Jonah, rightly believing that he is the cause of their problem. "Oh, throw me overboard. It's all my fault," he says. And all this, though the sailors refuse at first, soon they are forced to pitch him head over heels into the briny depths. But if Jonah thinks this is going to get him out of his obligation to go to Nineveh, he is sorely mistaken. Along comes a great big fish that swallows him whole. Jonah has 3 full days and nights to chew on his thoughts while dilly-dallying in the digestive tract of that fish until the poor fish can't stand it any longer and pukes him up on the beach. God again asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. This time he complies, but mostly because God is threatening to destroy the people of Nineveh and Jonah wants a front row seat. The people of Nineveh, from the king right down to the very last cow, repent and pray to God for forgiveness. And is Jonah glad that his warning causes the people to be saved? Not joyless Jonah. His response is to moan and groan, "Oh God, take my life. Now I have nothing to live for." Jonah plants himself under a gourd bush to mope, and when the bush shrivels up and dies, that's the last straw. "Woe is me, I'd rather die than live," mourns joyless Jonah. Okay. Bring on the violins. Jonah's the kind of guy that would see a rainbow and gripe about the rain. I mean, what's his problem? We all know a joyless Jonah or two, and chances are there's times when we might have a joyless Jonah kind of reaction. Someone else gets the promotion, loses the weight, or finds the perfect person. It's human nature to turn a little shade of green every now and then, but ultimately green is not a healthy shade to be unless your name is Shrek. And who wants to be a joyless Jonah anyway? Isn't there enough tragedy and sadness in the world without our adding to it by our attitudes? On Tuesday, we inaugurated the 44th President of the United States of America. Millions of people gathered, and millions more watched on TV and computer screens as Barack Obama took the oath of office. As the cameras panned out over the faces in the crowd, the looks of pure joy in those faces was astounding. Now, I know that not everyone feels joyful about the new administration, and that's okay. In this country, we are allowed the freedom to disagree with one another about politics. But with the economy continuing to go down the tubes and the war dragging on and so much discouragement and sorrow everywhere, it was just wonderful to see so many people feeling joyful. The ink on the first official document signed by President Obama hardly had time to dry before talk show host Rush Limbaugh uttered some of the cruelest words spoken over the course of all this contentious campaigning. He said about the president, "I hope he fails. I hope he fails." Talk about a joyless Jonah. No matter what side of the political fence you're sitting on, the last thing this country needs is for our president to fail. Maybe you don't like the guy, or maybe you don't agree with his policies, but wanting him to fail is akin to saying you want the nation to fail. You want all the hardworking people who, clinging for dear life as the world capsizes into despair, to fail. And maybe you're a liberal, maybe you're a conservative, maybe you're somewhere in between, but we are all Christians here, trying to live our faith day by day, often through very trying circumstances. And as Christians, we are called to be people of hope, people of compassion, and people of joy. We cannot be people who want to see other people fail. Years ago, I read the story of a team of special need kids playing a game of floor hockey. One team scored, and then the other. The anxiety of the crowd grew. People were cheering for the kids to make more goals. They wanted to see them score goals, but ultimately the game ended in a tie. What a shame, some of the folks sighed as they gathered up their jackets and purses to leave. What a disappointment for the kids that neither team could pull off a win. Then folks noticed a commotion down on the floor. The goalie from one of the teams was jumping up and down in all that bulky padding. People strained to hear what the boy was shouting, and as they all quieted, his words rang out across the rink. "Everybody won! Everybody won!" he yelled, clapping his hands, unable to contain his joy. "Everybody won!" That's what we need to cheer for everybody to win. The saddest part of the Jonah story is he's so busy being a joyless Jonah, so unhappy about God cutting a break to all the Ninevites that he misses a very important point. He misses the fact that God isn't just granting the Ninevites another chance at salvation. Over and over, God keeps giving Jonah another chance too. Jonah flat out disobeys God, and God saves his life. The second time God asked Jonah to bring his word to Nineveh, Jonah does. But when the people repent, Jonah stomps off in a huff. God reaches out to Jonah again, offering him shade and solace. But when the shade tree dies, Jonah pitches a major pout. And God still reaches out to Jonah, challenging Jonah to be joyful for all that God has done. God is exasperated, but God never turns away from Jonah. And Jonah is so busy being joyless at everyone else's redemption, he misses being joyful about his own as well. We can choose to be the joyless Jonas with so little gratitude in our own heart that we have no room for joy. But let's not do that. Let's not be the joyless Jonas. Life is just too short, and God is just too gracious. So let us rejoice in the grace we have received in Jesus Christ. Let us pray for all people to share in this joy. Let us cheer for everybody to win. Join me in prayer as I pray the words the Apostle Paul recorded in the book of Romans. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let all God's people say, Amen.